Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
CJ Carr can hit the pass. Like, when you throw the play-action shot, he can hit it.
I mean, first play of the game, he hit a 66-yard touchdown to Malachi Fields.
That's the other thing. I don't know what to do with Arkansas because, it's like, on the one hand, you can see where this is headed. On the other hand, they're two plays away from being 4-0 and undefeated, and what, this is like a top 20 matchup?
Yeah, look, the Notre Dame-Arkansas game, there's so many different dynamics you could go into because, to your point, Arkansas could be undefeated. Notre Dame could be not undefeated.
Yes.
Like, if they didn't play laterally and they played vertically against Miami, maybe they win that football game. Miami settled for a 47-yard field goal late in the fourth quarter. They dropped a snap. Now, once again, I'm not saying that Notre Dame is... Their defense has serious issues, like serious. This is the worst defense they've had since 2007, statistically speaking. And that was maybe the worst team in school history.
What'd you get right?
Well, I got to pat myself on the back about the Memphis call. That was just from the summer. I had San Diego State.
Yep, we both did. I did not have money line. I didn't have that card.
I did not have money line.
Because my logic was, what? I think you texted me. I was like, it's Wilcox as a favorite.
Yeah.
Wilcox as a double-digit favorite was 2-11 against the number, but he was 12-1 overall. It's like, all right, yeah, I'll take all the points. I did not have 34-0 on my spreadsheet.
No, I did not. So I had that right. I won't really pat myself on the back, but Hawaii somehow got me the cover on the island.
We took the money line, and
yeah, that was an excruciating game. Hawaii turned the ball over a bunch. Really had no business covering. Did get the cover, but yeah, the one I'll hold my hat on is certainly Memphis, and then San Diego State.
The final score was too close. I knew TCU was a lot better team than SMU.
That was a good call.
Most college football moment of the week. You probably did not watch this. The only person that might have seen this is George and whoever was still watching the Ole Miss Tulane game in the third quarter. Jake Ratzlaff had a fourth and goal throw that was one of the most impressive no chance incompletions I've ever seen. Remember when you'd go to the showcase for baseball and they put the radar gun on you for the first time?
Yeah.
He threw that to absolutely nobody. It made a sound on the wall that sits in front of the end zone seating that was like one of the biggest thuds I've ever heard. I've never seen a ball that was that off target but thrown with that much mustard that actually made me say I tip my cap to the young man.
That was an absolute laser.
Missile.
And for what it's worth.
And I believe it was how close was the nearest receiver?
Oh,
10 yards?
Easy.
Yeah, it was unreal.
If you're picking one from that game, I really thought you were going to go Lane with the assist on the basketball.
Oh yeah, Lane did with an alley oop. I'm kind of out on the whole dunk thing. Just whatever. Like, yeah, let the kids have their fun, but I don't care.
It was great when the 6'8" guy just broke the net, though. It was pretty good.
Also, we could just have Miami of Ohio not winning a game with a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. That's some real college football stuff.
Also in that game, the quarterback got hurt and threw a pick six on the same play.
Okay.
And he was talking about on the turf.
It was Daquan Finn. It was Daquan Finn. I kind of think we were better off with the other kid.
There was a moment in the second half where Miami had scored two touchdowns and had six offensive plays.
Yeah.
Because they had a kickoff return for a touchdown and a pick six. And when they fumbled the ball at 38-38, I'm like, well, that's...
No, I was just hoping that hoping that Dan would score too fast and they could at least maybe get... They did try also a 57-yard field goal and the holder didn't even get the ball down. That was an all-timer.
That was fun.
Dumpster fire of the week. I think you would agree with me on this. So, of course, in my neck of the woods, everyone believes that there's a ref conspiracy. I watch every league, and I don't feel like this is bias. I don't feel like this is burying my head in the sand, trying to be contrarian. I firmly, in my heart of hearts, believe the worst group of officials are the SEC officials. And I think if we would go through every single year and you go through, like, the top 10 most blown calls, you can usually say about 70% of them are going to be SEC officials. The fact that they continue to just never actually address the problem blows my mind. Like, when you see the ACC kind of getting applauded for the replay center and giving you the audio, whatnot, how do you not jump in on that?
I want to see more of that. I thought that was great television. Did they have it again this past weekend?
The ACC, I think, is making it pretty much a part of their broadcast, and then the Big 12, I believe, is adding it.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an Auburn fan, my question, I guess, going back to the Auburn A&M thing, is knowing that you got pretty much jobbed in a game you probably should have won, how do you get off of the mat to go to another raucous environment?
I guess the argument would be you went up against a team that everybody thinks pretty good and you realized you're as good as they are. What I fear, because this would be a spot where normally I'd want to jump on Auburn. I've just covered enough Hugh teams to know that, man, it is not a week-to-week thing. Like, they ride a wave. He's really good at getting them up for a game, but there's always a payback.
I'll give you, the obvious dumpster fire is Oklahoma State.
Wisconsin, we could say Carolina.
Wisconsin, North Carolina, Clemson, all of those teams are certainly possible, but this one's super off the radar. Everyone always wants to tell me that Jason Candle...
Our boy did what he did. Bud Elliott had the greatest nickname ever. Mario of the Mac.
I mean, Jason Candle, who's the head coach of Toledo, and I believe Toledo, because they did get the cover against Kentucky earlier this
Correct.
Year.
Well, it depended on when... Yeah, it depended on the number. Because remember, that number moved six points throughout the week.
Toledo as an underdog, I believe, is the best cover team in college football since 2019. They're 8-1 against the spread or something like that. They always get up. They should have beat Notre Dame a couple of years ago. Who did they beat? They beat someone
last
year.
They beat Mississippi State by a million last year.
Right. And they were a 14-point favorite this weekend.
That sounds right.
And blew a 13-0 second half lead to a winless Western Michigan team.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, let's take a quick break. We've got starting quarterback news in the NFL. We'll also get into the Monday night game from the NFL, some injuries and more. We'll talk about it all next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's get into it. Jackson Dart. Yeah, the New York Giants are planning to bench quarterback Russell Wilson in favor of first-round rookie Jackson Dart after three games, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Tuesday. Dart's first start will come at home Sunday against the undefeated Los Angeles Chargers at MetLife Stadium. The 25th overall pick this year out of Ole Miss served as the backup for Wilson for the first three games. The Giants 0-3 also have veteran Jameis Winston on the roster. However, the Giants are planning to make Russell Wilson the starting quarterback. Number one, Tim, I think the obvious question was, were they waiting because they've had offensive line shuffling? Were they waiting to get that back right, or did what happened on Sunday night just say, like, it doesn't matter, rookie or not, like, we can't just be having 2-minute drives with our starting quarterback throwing one out of the tunnel, another one out of the tunnel that didn't result in a grounding, and a fourth down throw off the goalpost.
I think yes to that. I mean, that first week of the season against Washington, to me, was he has to be benched. And then there were moments against the Cowboys. He said, oh, okay, maybe we're wrong. And then you get the interception.
Well, and it also turns out the Cowboys might be like the ailment for whatever your putrid offense might need.
Also fair. But I almost feel like those two passes on third and fourth and goal had to have been the point where, like, you can't put them back out there. And I do wonder, did the Giants want to avoid having to do this against the Chargers, who might be the best defense in the NFL? But you're going to lose the locker room if you go with that. And look, Brian Daboll is on the hottest of hot seats right now, and they've got to make some sort of move. And even if he falls flat on his face, there's at least the hope of, hey, maybe we can win some games down the road. At least there's nothing, like, what is there? There's no point to Russell Wilson playing. None.
I would also argue there was no point to bringing him in.
That's fair. I think, like, if you compare it to what's going on in Cleveland.
Yep.
Like, I would contend that Joe Flacco probably shouldn't be the starter. That said, the defense is so good that it's just like, all right, man, if you could get us a couple sustained drives, don't make mistakes, we might be able to scratch and claw our way to a couple wins, as we saw on Sunday against arguably a top five team in the NFL. They were able to beat them. Now, there were crazy circumstances. There was a terrible interception from Jordan Love, but that's what the Browns defense does. So I kind of understand it now, even though we had all of the discussion this summer about should Shador be starting, should Dylan Gabriel, no one really talked about Dylan Gabriel, but with the Giants, there's no reason. He's making you worse. Like, Joe Flacco, I would say, is not making them worse. He just doesn't really have an upside.
Well, and also with the Browns, to your point, yes, they have two young quarterbacks on their roster. Neither of them were first-round picks.
Correct.
And yes, so
Jackson Dart, obviously, that's a good point. They're a first-round pick.
I also think a big part of this is also, listen, I know the Chiefs basically said, you have one receiver that we respect, and that's Malik Nabers, and they bracketed him the whole time. But, like, you just cannot continue to have games where Malik Nabers literally gets targeted once. Like, I don't understand why they brought him in the first place. You had your bridge quarterback in Jameis. Great. That's fine. If you didn't want to play a rookie week one, I totally get that, especially when you consider what the schedule is. Well, you're throwing him in there now, three games into the schedule that's still a gauntlet, but I think they were left with no choice. But this actually, like, brings me to, I am actually excited on Sunday, knowing full well what happens when you start a rookie quarterback. It's not going to be pretty. You're probably going to lose. You're probably not going to cover. I totally understand that. But at the same time, it's like, at least there's, like, some hope. And then I think the Giants also have to, they're never going to, because it's a family-owned team that's, like, they don't have, like, independent wealth. Their wealth is just through the Giants. Why does everyone always suddenly get better as soon as they leave the Giants? Well, what is it about that? Is that just bad luck? Because I do find myself, like, I'm genuinely happy for Daniel Jones. And, like, the Daniel Jones life cycle that I went through was quite the roller coaster. From on draft night, my wife asked me, what do you think the Giants are doing? I'm like, no, they'll do something like trade up and take Daniel Jones, or they'll wind up with Daniel Jones, and, like, that's what's going to happen. To everyone acting like he's the only reason that they were bad, And to now, it's like, it is just satisfying. And again, could they be the Saints from last year? I don't know, maybe, but what he's doing is legitimately repeatable. He has no turnovers. They have punted one time. This was my favorite stat of the week. There are now 16 teams that have more losses in the NFL than the Colts have punts. They brought him on the Manning cast, too. Daniel's personality is still electric as ever. I
sense the sarcasm.
I am actually convinced, though. So we learned that Daniel in his childhood room had a fat head of Eli. I am actually convinced that the Maras, when they met with Daniel Jones, they just thought, like, played for Cutcliffe. He kind of looks like if you were casting a Manning brother. If you were casting Eli in a movie about Peyton, Daniel Jones kind of looked like him. And I'm just convinced, like, that's why they drafted him. It's like, it looks enough like Eli. Also,
as time goes on, are we going to think more favorably of the Daniel Jones era in New York?
He did win a playoff game.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I mean, he's always just going to be, even though it's unfair to him, he's always going to be linked to, because they paid him, they couldn't pay Saquon.
We got some big news here.
Uh-oh, what we got?
According to Sooner Scoop, John Mateer suffered a thumb injury on his throwing hand and could miss 3 or more weeks.
Okay, so Sooner Scoop is definitely a reputable.
Oklahoma just tweeted out Mateer to undergo surgery on Wednesday.
Okay, that actually makes me feel better about what my eyes were telling me. I was like, man, he's always been a little YOLO and erratic.
That is.
All right, well, let's see who.
Groundbreaking.
So Texas
stuff.
Is in 2 weeks, right? All right, I'm pulling up the schedule. All right, so
they're off this week, right?
They have a bye week this week. They have Kent State next week. So what's easier than a bye week? No, that's good because you get to get out and get some reps. And then they have Texas.
He won't be ready for Texas.
So you said 3 to 5?
Sooner Scoop said 3 or more. Man, that is... Whew.
Is their backup the kid they tried to...
Is it Hawkins or is he
Yeah, gone? Is it Michael Hawkins Jr.?
I think it is, isn't it?
I think he stayed. I've not watched enough of their bye games to know.
I mean, look, Kent State, I could play quarterback and they'd win by 70. But Texas, that's a horse
still,
of a different color, man.
It is still Michael Hawkins.
And he ain't going to play in that game. I mean, they'll probably try their best to get him out there. Man, that is massive.
Hold on. Was it right thumb or left?
Throwing hand. I'll read you what was put out today by Oklahoma. Brent Venables announced Tuesday that John Mateer will undergo surgery to address a right hand injury he sustained over Auburn. Quote, after consulting with medical experts, it became clear that surgery is the best option for John and his short and long-term future. He's extremely disappointed he will miss some game action, but is eager to correct the issue and move forward. As he is with everything, we know we will be aggressive with his rehabilitation and work to return to the field as quickly as possible.
All right, this isn't definitely an I told you so, but it can maybe be construed as such. This was always my fear with Mateer. And, like, it kind of sucks that it's, like, a hand. But, like, when you are basically your team's run game and you play so much outside of structure and you take the body shots that he does, like, I just was never convinced that he was going to last an entire season. And, again, his season's not done, but...
I had a buddy of mine text me their Heisman slip from this summer and basically be like, look what I did. And I was like, be careful. He gets hurt a lot. And I was hoping that wasn't be the case, but man, that sucks.
Well, I mean, I think the real question is, does that alter the outlook of the SEC?
Yeah, it has to, right?
So beyond Texas, I think they also have South Carolina.
I mean, the Texas game is... I mean, and that's what we don't know, right?
All right, so here...
We'll find out more as the week goes on. Something will leak where we get more information on this injury. So once again, bye week, Kent State, and then it's Texas.
I mean, reckless speculation, George, right? He just had to have pins put in, right?
That would probably be my reckless speculation. Probably throw a couple pins in there, stabilize it, and then, I mean, they're smaller bones. You just kind of let them heal on their own usually, unless it's a ligament problem.
And here's the thing, right? That South Carolina game, as much as we're down on South Carolina right now.
It's on the road, baby.
On the road at Williams-Brice after Texas, that is not going to be easy. Especially if it is Hawkins or it's Mateer coming back from injury.
And correct me if I'm wrong, right after that they host Ole Miss.
That is correct.
I mean, their stretch after...
My gut says he's back for that Ole Miss game.
Their back end of the stretch, and this is why I never bought them as a national championship contending team. Texas, South Carolina on the road, Ole Miss at Tennessee, at Bama, home to Mizzou, home to LSU. Yeah, good luck. With a quarterback who might have some pins in his thumb.
I think it's likely. That would be, they're probably just
trying. That's my guess.
Didn't you say the statement said short and long term?
Short and long term.
Yeah, to me it's like they got to stabilize it.
Yep.
Well,
that just kind of sucks for college football, to be honest. Not having him, I mean, I guess that's speculatory. We don't know. They might try to figure out a way to get, so that's this week. So he's getting surgery tomorrow. No game on Saturday. Kent State, no game October 4th. So that's 2.5 weeks before Texas. I don't think he's probably going to play. If I had to guess.
Well, no, I mean, I think we can both say, I don't think he's playing against Texas. My question is...
Is he playing against South Carolina?
Right, or is he playing against Ole Miss, or is he playing against, you know, like, are we talking about a month, are we talking about 6 weeks, are we talking about... Because, to your point, it's not just, is he back for South Carolina, it's, then it's Ole Miss, then it's at Tennessee, at Alabama. Like, it seems to me he's coming back in this stretch of games against, at South Carolina, Ole Miss at home, at Tennessee, at Alabama. But the question is, does he miss one of those? Does he miss two of those? Does he miss three of those? Does he miss none of those? Like, is he back after that? 2 weeks seems unlikely.
Can he win the Heisman Trophy if he doesn't play against Texas?
I think yes, if he plays that stretch of games that we're talking about and they go undefeated and he's awesome. I mean, this is the other aspect of it. Like, it's not like they're just going to stabilize it and you're going to go back and it's going to be normal. Like, he's going to have to adjust to what it feels like with all the pins and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also with, like you said, how much he runs, the potential of re-injury.
I mean, that's his game. He's
100%.
They can't run the ball without him.
Right. Like that. How much, to your point, Auburn fans are frustrated right now because they feel like they got cheated out of a win. You think to the Michigan game, he ran it, what, 11, 12 times? He didn't go nuts running the football against Auburn, but...
But, I mean, the biggest play of the game was him taking a shot going into the end zone.
Right.
I'm also willing to bet that might have been the play.
Now, their defense is as good as it comes.
Correct, but like Michael Hawkins Jr. is not an air raid quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing, right? How does Michael Hawkins Jr. fit with Arbuckle?
All right, I'm trying to pull up number of total carries.
So far this year?
Yeah.
From this year?
Yeah.
He's at 43. He had 19 against Michigan. I shortchanged it. He had 7 against Illinois State and Temple, so 14, 7 each. And then he had 10 against Auburn and a touchdown in every game.
Well, and think about it. In their two, quote-unquote, non-games, he still ran it 7 times.
Yep. Now, he was throwing the ball 35 times a game. And his numbers were pretty consistent. But also, like, I'm not going to pretend to know how he's going to be able to throw the football. How much is it going to affect him throwing?
I mean,
it's his throwing hand. I mean, he's not the most precise passer in
the
world.
It's definitely like a... again, but this does make me feel a little better because I thought he was... I was trying to give credit to Auburn's defense, and now that's the other thing. I need the internet to figure out when he got hurt.
I'm sure.
Because
don't worry.
I think
the
there
internet's
are a lot
on the case.
Because there, are, I'm sure there are a lot of people that, like, would you not agree? Part of the wanting to tick Auburn up was, man, that defense was ready for the battle.
Oh, I hear what you're saying.
And so now it's like, okay, were they really ready for the battle, or was maybe Mateer really off because, well, his hand was busted up? That's... I got an interesting question about the Florida job.
Okay.
Let's see. I don't know. I've said what I want to say about Lamar. All right. I got an interesting question about the Florida job, and could it be a landing spot? I want to run it by you next. Let's do that when we come back right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one place to buy diamond engagement rings. Why might you ask? Well, because you get more choices. Robert Irwin Jewelers has a large collection of natural and lab-grown diamonds in all shapes and sizes. They also make designing custom engagement rings risk-free and easy because you get a peace of mind with the mint-to-be guarantee. That means that if you buy your loose diamond and your custom-made engagement ring at Robert Irwin Jewelers, you have a full 365 days to return it at the full purchase price, no questions asked. They do this simply because they know you're going to absolutely love the ring. Also, you can have it your way at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Every designer engagement ring mounts or Every designer diamond engagement ring mounting at Robert Irwin Jewelers is fully customizable to accommodate the center diamond size and shape of your choice. Plus, you can also choose from yellow, white, or rose gold. If you can dream it, Robert Irwin Jewelers can make it come to life. Also, at Robert Irwin Jewelers, they have free ring sizing for life, as well as the free jewelry spa service for life as well. You can even ask her now and pay later with financing options like 24 months deferred interest, or you can take up to 60 months to pay at a low APR. Robert Irwin Jewelers has over four decades of experience in the jewelry business, and they have become a trusted name known for providing timeless treasures for generations of families. Check out the three area locations, including the Diamond Showroom right there on Perkins Extended. Bigger, brighter diamonds, all at better prices, Robert Irwin Jewelers, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. All right, before we get into the question that we had a listener send in, Tim, got a little bit more information from Pete Thamel. Sources, John Mateer's injury is a broken bone in his right throwing hand that he suffered in the first quarter against Auburn on Saturday night. The estimated timeline after surgery is expected to be about a month, as the surgery is considered straightforward. He's set to have the surgery in Los Angeles on Wednesday, and Dr. Stephen Shin will perform the surgery. Is his agent getting his name out there too? He's considered one of the country's leading hand and wrist surgeons. He's worked on Drew Brees, Steph Curry, and Mike Trout. Mateer finished the Auburn game after the break, and he led Oklahoma to a 24-17 victory and threw for 271 yards. I think this also makes sense because I did some stat broadcast sleuthing. He finished the first half 8 of 19. What do you think happened at halftime?
A little shotsky.
Uh-huh.
A little numbing agent.
And let's see. After that, he hit 16 of 17.
Advil, man. Works
God,
wonders.
God, those Advils and Tylenols. They're just amazing.
Woo! Max Olson, is he at ESPN or at The Athletic? ESPN.
Max, I think he's back at The Athletic. He covered Oklahoma for a long time, too.
Oklahoma is getting 71 rushing yards per game from its running backs, which is 67th out of 68 Power 4 teams. Quoting Max Olson, going to take some A-plus stuff from Ben Arbuckle to get through this stretch without the Heisman frontrunner.
Well, the other aspect of this is, okay, if you've got Michael Hawkins at quarterback, what do you want Michael Hawkins doing?
Run.
How aggressive can you be?
Man. So, as I always put the gambling hat on, does this make Oklahoma a buy low candidate to make the playoff? Because if Mateer's going to come back,
I want nothing to do with it.
That schedule is so
brutal. That's why. And also, you're also banking on, okay, even when we get the PR report of it's straightforward, whatnot, it's still a human being that just had surgery. There's going to be an adjustment period of learning to throw the football.
And what are you going to want to do when, and I'm not saying this is dirty, but what are you going to want to do when John Mateer is running the football? You're going to want to hit him in that hand.
Correct.
And he's going to get hit on that hand a lot. And that was always my concern about Mateer. And it stinks that it happened because he's an awesome player. But my concern, and we talked about this summer, and it's a broken bone. But you're facing SEC athletes now, not Mountain West athletes. And he was balling out against the SEC athlete. But, man, this stinks. Yeah, man, that schedule, whew, that ain't forgiven.
I just can't buy low. I mean, I guess it's possible this. Let's say they lose two games without Mateer.
Okay, so they lose to Texas and they lose to South Carolina.
All right.
And then he comes back.
And let's say they win.
They'd have to win out, essentially,
well,
right?
Well, I was saying, what happens if they win 4 of 5?
So
have I done the math right?
Three. Yeah, they're 4-0. They're going to beat Kent State, so they'll be 5-0. He will miss the Texas game. It certainly seems that's a certainty at this point. If Thamel's saying about a month. So if about a month is mid-October, maybe he's back for the Ole Miss game?
It feels to me like... I was literally going to say, I think the over-under is the Ole Miss game.
I think the week of the Ole Miss game, it'll be like, he's practicing, and he's, you know, we'll see if he's able to
game
play.
Game time, a little game time decision?
A little doesn't practice Tuesday or Wednesday, and then is not on the injury report? Oh, no, that's Utah. Excuse me.
That's Ole Miss, too. Doesn't practice, and he's probable.
He's not, I mean, I think it's a foregone conclusion right now. He's not playing Texas, right?
I guess it's entirely possible that they do the surgery and then he goes, hey, can we shoot this thing up? But, I mean, I don't think you're releasing the about a month timeline.
Yeah. Well, Sooner Scoops have 3 months or more.
That 3 weeks.
Three weeks. Excuse me. Right. Sorry. Yes. 3 weeks or more, which would be the Texas game that he would sit out. And now you've got Thamel saying about a month. So I would say, yeah, my gut right now on September 23rd, Ole Miss will be the targeted return date for the final five games of the season. And what's their record? Are they 5-1? Do they beat South Carolina on the road?
I mean if you beat South Carolina on the road with your backup quarterback, like, that's hat tip.
For sure.
All right, here was the question that I received from Justin Lewis. What about Dabo to Florida? So here's the couple of questions. Number one, if you're Florida, are you thinking, like, to me, doesn't this feel like a move that, what's our boy? He was at A&M, then at LSU, or maybe it was A&M, then LSU, Scott Woodward. This feels like a Scott Woodward move because he is a big, like, I went and hired a national championship coach. Do you think Dabo has another run in him in this era? And actually, I'll make the case. You tell me if you buy this.
Okay.
All right. I know Dabo's putting himself out there leaves him a very easy target.
Mm-hmm.
But I have personally always believed a lot of the Dabo-isms were dependent on two different things. Number one, I think Clemson, and I think Dabo knew this early on, if this truly just becomes a who can spend the most money, we can't do it. So I do think what he wound up doing was, we already have an established high school pipeline. We're going to keep our guys, and we're going to do it that way because we can't go into the portal because it gets expensive, and then there's too much out there that is risky, whereas with our guys, we know them, we develop them, whatnot. Like, he made that call. The second aspect of it is, a lot of times, you're just trying to probably keep your people happy, and I think there are a lot of people in Clemson that want to hear about the good old days and whatnot, but I don't personally believe someone that is as competitive as he is, I don't think these coaches are wired to just have a certain way to do it. So I could trust that if I gave him the full playbook, because keep in mind, remember when Brian Kelly got to LSU, it was said with a different accent, but the quotes kind of mirrored each other. Well, what did Brian go and do this year?
Portal.
Clemson tried a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, they got, I mean, the kid Helt is pretty good.
My argument would also be, I bet LSU has more money than Clemson.
Oh, they definitely do.
So
now, I will say, Clemson is spending money. They're all about roster retention.
Correct. And
that's one way to go.
Right. But it's got to be kind of like the NFL, where sometimes you keep your guys, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you go into free agency, sometimes you hit the draft. Like, there has to be somewhat of a balance. Would you be worried that if you're Florida and you're getting Dabo, that you would be doing Texas A&M Jimbo?
You know me, and I'm not a big overreaction guy. I think Dabo has the potential to work somewhere else. I don't think it's Florida or an SEC school, because it's all about portal, spending big money. I think he can recruit. I mean, he's gotten some guys into Clemson for sure. It has dropped off, and it's not the level of what it once was when they were winning national titles.
I also think it's dropped off for the same reasons. I don't think it's dropped off because he forgot how to recruit. I think it's dropped off because it's transactionary.
But is he the type of coach? And maybe he is, to your point. Maybe the competitiveness will just jump in and he'll say, I got to adapt. I got to change my ways. I don't think he, personally, I don't think he would be the type of hire that you'd want to make at Florida. Just my gut. I could see him, I'm looking at the other, I mean, the jobs that are open right now.
Well, the other question is.
I mean, he's also got, what, a $60 million buyout?
It's different. He's got the Alabama buyout, which is astronomical if he goes to Alabama. I'll tell you what, man. There's a guy who lives in Tampa.
Oh, let's start that up again. Would he work anywhere?
I mean, I actually would like him at a mid-tier SEC school. And here would be my argument. I'm worried about Arkansas. I think Arkansas is trying to, I don't think Arkansas's weighed the question. They're trying to
Can
win.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
I mean, I feel like you know enough about Arkansas. Does Arkansas spend too much money on basketball and baseball right now to be all
Yes,
in
that
on
was
football?
Literally my point was going to be they're spending to try and win in three, and in reality, they're really only spending enough in two. I would argue right now baseball is the ultimate vanity project. With that being said, baseball matters to the people of the University of Arkansas. Like I don't – if you have a product where you have 38 games a year people enjoy going to and you make money off that, by all means, but it's a vanity project.
And I'm not saying that I don't know. I have no idea. What, I mean, I know LSU's spending money in baseball. The whole SEC spending money in baseball.
A&M spends money in baseball. Well, Tennessee spends – the school, in my opinion, that does the best at spending in three sports and winning, and you could even probably throw women's basketball in.
Maybe LSU.
No, I'd argue Tennessee because LSU's basketball. I don't know LSU basketball.
Well, LSU's women's basketball. They went out and got Mulkey.
Yeah, but I would argue Tennessee is spending competitively in football, spending competitively in basketball, spending competitively in baseball, and then they're trying to do it in women's basketball. Aren't they at the top of the sport? No, but they're pretty good. I think here would be my argument for Gruden. If
to
you look at
a mid tier, you to a mid tier SEC.
If you look at what Gruden largely did in the NFL when he no longer had that Tampa defense that was just insane, what he largely did was got a lot of veterans, got a lot of old guys that could play or older guys that could play that weren't necessarily the most expensive, and he kind of to a certain degree moneyballed it. And you wound up with a team that was largely kind of in that 10-6 to 8-8 range. The reason why I don't love him at a Florida is I don't know if the, like Florida at the end, like they're trying to get somebody who can get them to a championship. I don't know if that gets you to a championship, but if you're in kind of a mid-tier job, like maybe Arkansas does make some sense. And also if you're Arkansas, you kind of have proof of concept of splashy name that maybe some people think games passed them by, they'll get behind it.
I think if Gruden went to Arkansas, and now, once again, Coach Cal won a national championship at Kentucky and had Final Four teams and elite prospects coming out his ears, but I would guess if they rolled out and said, John Gruden is our next head coach, the donor money, and I mean, I don't know, once again, you know much more about the inner workings of the SEC, they got Tyson and Walmart money, right?
I'm a little curious because not only do you have Tyson and Walmart money, now it's also important to note the Waltons that we have now, not all that into Arkansas athletics. But
don't they own an NFL team too?
One of them does, yes.
Yeah,
but I think she was the one that like drew like a 500 mile radius and said there can't be a Walmart around here, which I noticed they always cash the checks. They always cash those Walmart checks when they take their very moral and principled stance. What blows me away is that Walmart requires every vendor to have an office in Bentonville. And I've just never understood. If you go up to Northwest Arkansas, there's so much corporate money. I've never figured out why they can't quite tap into all of it. Maybe their argument would be, hey, well, we do tap into it. but we're spending it all. So I think the problem is I don't know if you can spend on football, basketball, and baseball, but I don't know if they are willing to accept that.
Yeah, it's I mean, Gruden getting his name, he's certainly getting his name out there. He's taking shots yesterday at Belichick, and
That was deserved because Lombardi loved to make fun of Gruden.
Oh yeah,
that was sure. A Lombardi. That was hey buddy,
my former colleague.
Yeah, Lombardi loved to do that. I mean, I like Michael, but you can't.
I like him too.
You can't do the move that, like, hey man, there will be shots fired in retaliation. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. We got to judge whether or not Oklahoma State's telling their story. Jim Traber, former Oklahoma State baseball player, also a radio host in Oklahoma, says that Oklahoma State gave Mike Gundy the opportunity to announce his retirement and coach out the rest of the season, and he declined. Here's why I'm a little woke on that. I think he's probably owed more money if he does it this way.
He's a man. He wants his money.
Well, I think this is also a way for Oklahoma State to be like, see, we were gonna let him try to do it the honorable way. It does make you realize, like, the fact that Saban actually retired on his own terms, like, what if he's the last one?
Would you, with all the buyouts that are out there?
No, I'd say you got to fire me.
Right.
Yeah. All right, my man. Have a good rest of your week.
All right. See you, dude.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, he'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.